gonna. I'm sorry. How many years have we been married? Well, let's ask her because I know. Yes, 40.
Seems like forever.
47. See what I've had to put up with? So, they're giving her high fives back there. Wow. So, pick up your Bibles, would you? Take out your message notes from the last few weeks. If you haven't been with us as a newcomer, we have message notes. We want to give them to you. If you're here and you don't have a Bible and you'd like to borrow one, you can get both of those documents from the ushers. Just let them know. We're looking at what GHCC should be like in a world of racism and corruption. Corruption, moral corruption, political corruption, in a world of corruption. What should we be like? I find it interesting. You know, some believe in the spiritual world and some don't. Some believe that there is a war going on in the spiritual world with us, and others don't. Those who don't, you're wrong. I mean, here we are looking at what we've been looking at in the Word of God, studying, receiving from the Holy Spirit, those things that are important on the heart of God the Father for us to know and to live out. And last week, in Facebook, there was an assault on two of our church family members. They were hacked. They were hacked, and they were thought to have put some foul things on their website. Or not their website, their Facebook site. They didn't do that. But someone who follows after the evil one wanted these people to do that. And I had to go and talk with these people and to find out. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I didn't believe it. But nonetheless, there it was on their websites. People get hurt by what is put on the websites. And unless we speak up, unless we go to our brothers and our sisters and talk to them, actually ask them. You know, some of us, we just wait and we wait and we wait and we get mad and we get madder and we get madder, and then lo and behold, they didn't do anything wrong. Someone else did it. So family, we have got to be diligent. We need to look over what's going on, those things that we're participating in, and see if we're being maligned by someone else that wants to take away the wonderful testimony that Jesus is creating in so many of us. In Romans, it's not in your notes, chapter 6 and verse 4. You may want to write it down and visit it later today. Romans 6, 4, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "We were buried, therefore, with him in by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." We have entered into, those of us who have appropriated Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we have become new creations in Him. We walk in Him. We have this new life. Now, we don't live it perfectly. I'm the first one to tell you that I don't live it perfectly and how I hate my own flesh, my own sin, and look forward to being absent from it. But we are to be walking in this newness of life. And we need to remind ourselves of this, because many of us have lived in the flesh much longer than we've been Christians. And some of us have been Christian just as long as we've just been walking in the flesh. But all this time, even as a believer, a follower of the Lord, we've been living in the flesh. And the flesh is at war with our spirit. and it wants to ruin our testimony. So we have to be on guard. And as you've heard me talk about, go back to our studies on the armor of God, and we need to wear it. Solomon, the smartest, wisest man that our Heavenly Father ever created. Now, I'm not talking about the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a mere man like you and me, fellas. He said this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. As we come to the Word of God and we begin to listen to it being poured forth into our hearts and to our minds, as He speaks to us, as the breath of God envelops us, don't reject the Lord's discipline. If the Spirit of God says, hey, here's an area to clean up, say, gotcha. I'm listening. I hear you, Father. But He says, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, because there might be some of that coming along too. So don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when He corrects you. Some of us are so prideful, we really don't like being corrected. Even when we hear our brother or our sister come to us and share their heart, and we recognize that I do need this correction. I'm really wrong. But how dare you tell me? Really? My child, isn't that beautiful? Don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves. He loves us. So anyone who teaches from this pulpit, anyone who teaches on this campus, and if it happens to bring a measure of correction into our lives, that comes from the love of God. It may not come lovingly from a person. You know, we have to give people some grace. People are just people, you know. We're not always so wonderful in sharing corrections ourselves. But the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child whom he delights in. You know, I don't want to embarrass, but you know, we have a young man in our church family, and he's made 6 touchdowns since his season opened. Very cool. And you know, his mom delights in him. She's so proud of him. But you know, I'll bet you a dime to a dollar, if I were a betting man, that there are times in this football player she delights in, she has to correct him. And I bet there are times when she has to discipline him. And I'm being very careful not to look in his or her direction. So keep that in mind as the Holy Spirit opens His word, His breath to us. It comes from a Heavenly Father who loves us. It comes from a gracious Lord Jesus Christ who has demonstrated that love for us. And it comes from a Holy Spirit who is sent to be with us, to guide us, to lead us, to sense that marvelous unconditional love that has been provided us through the work of Jesus on the cross. Billy Graham once said, and I quote, "Our society strives to avoid any possibility of offending anyone." except God. Except God. And the church needs to be careful. His bride needs to be careful. Because we can say things, we can do things that break his heart. In Ephesians 5:13, also not in your notes, it says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Now, one might go, duh. But our Lord is speaking. He says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. When you lose something, you turn on a light. Light exposes what's been hiding in the dark. I heard this story of a drunk man who was down on his knees and he's scouring the pavement under this light standard that's on, and a stranger walks by. And the stranger comes up to him and says, what are you doing? And the drunk fellow says, I'm looking for my wallet. The stranger says, did you lose it here? And he says, no, I lost it two blocks over, but there isn't any light. Looking for something in the wrong place. Is that a good idea? Remember I asked you when we first began our series on page one of your notes, I asked in there, who are you listening to and what are you reading? The sadness is the majority of our brothers and sisters across America, they're not really listening to him and they're not reading his wonderful book that we've come to know as the Bible. And that has gotten the church and some of us in trouble. I know it certainly has been troubling in my life when I have not been listening to him and reading as to what he would like to say. So looking for something in the wrong place is not a good idea. You need to look in the right place, and the right place to look when you're facing any problem whatsoever, is right here. He has addressed what we need to know. If you're facing people at work who denigrate you because of your race, come to the Word. Come and be alone with Him and let Him speak to you. Let Him love on you. If you're all upset about the corruption that is manifesting itself in our country more and more, you know, it used to be so hidden, and now it's just right out there. It's just out there. Politicians can almost do whatever they want to do, and they don't get punished. But you will if you do what they do. We have this royalty in America today. And we were founded to have no royalty. We left that behind us in the old world, or so many of us thought. So we need to be looking in here, the Word of God, when we're facing any of our problems. Sometimes, using marriage as an illustration, if you're having trouble in your marriage, I've encouraged people to go and talk to a marriage counselor, but not just any marriage counselor, to a biblical marriage counselor, a biblical counselor. Counsel that originates from human thought and reason is only going to get you this far. It's not going to get you to the end where our Lord wants you to be with success. You must get your counsel from the Word of God. And He is the one in the illustration who created marriage. So that's the best place to go and find out about it if you're struggling in your marriage. But likewise with any other problem that you may have. If you're all upset with our government and so forth and so on, our Lord has something to say to you. If you're all upset because of the racial tensions in our country today, our Heavenly Father has much to say to us. So much to say. So much encouragement to encourage us in. But here's something to keep in mind. Just because a person says that they're using, again, the illustration of marriage counseling, just because someone says they're a Christian counselor doesn't mean that they're going to give you biblical counseling. I've often heard the advice from Christian, quote-unquote, counselors that is contradictory to what our Heavenly Father has shared with us from His Holy Writ. The true counsel of God comes from His written word, the Bible. But you may ask, but what if I don't agree with what the Bible has to say? I want to say this with respect. Respect. The simple answer is change your opinion because the Bible's right and you're wrong. The Bible's right and you're wrong. So if you go back to page 2 of your notes, I left you at the bottom, but before we do that, I need to remind us of something. We saw in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 29 through 32. As you recall, I talked about what Paul was talking to the Ephesian church about. Obviously, there was a problem in the Ephesian church family. And that problem carries over to every church family. There are no perfect church families because we're in them. Okay? But he told us this, and he told us with this present imperative. Remember, this is something my kids do. This is not something I think they should do. This is not something our Heavenly Father is saying when you get around to it. He says to my children, he says to you and to me, he says, Sepros, let no corrupting talk, let no rotten speech, let nothing defiling come out of your mouths, but such as is agathos, that is morally good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give enablement to the person who is listening to you. Whether we're talking to someone, giving a speech, preaching a message, writing something in our blogs, an email, or on your social media. And we're to do this because he says we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we have been sealed for the day of redemption. We're not to grieve him. We need to be sensitive to the things we say, the things we write, because we don't want to grieve this wonderful God of ours. The Holy Spirit told Paul to tell us that we are to get rid of all bitterness. We're to get rid of all rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And when he tells us to do something, he does not say to you, look, I expect you all by your little lonesome to do this. I am telling you this because my Spirit lives within you and he will direct, he will lead, he will guide, he will speak into your life, he will help you, he will give you the power and the strength to accomplish these things. But we have to acknowledge him. We have to be walking in the Spirit. We need to settle down with him. We need to give ourselves over to him in fullness for this to take place in our lives. It's so important Because he wants us, as he said, to be tenderhearted and forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. We're to be kind to one another. This is what he wants. And this is what you and I can do no matter what the situation. No matter what the situation. With our Lord's help. See, all of this is predicated upon relationship. It's all predicated upon relationship. In my former occupation, I needed help. And I needed my partner to be there right away, to come alongside, to help me to handle this criminal activity, to take part in this arrest, to make sure it all took place the way it's supposed to. I couldn't do it on my own. The Holy Spirit is not to be your partner. He's to be your God. He is to be the one you follow. He's the one you call upon and say, let's go, and you be first. And he says, we'll go together. We'll go together, you and me. But we have to remember him. We have to ask him to come help us. Well, I left you last time there at the bottom of page 2. Remember what Paul told us? The Holy Spirit told him to reveal to us in Philippians 4 and Romans 12. And I asked you, do you remember these things when we were studying those 4 chapters in the book of Philippians and it only took us 5 years to get through it? You remember? Sure you do. God forgive them for their fibbing. Look at Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. There's 6 items that are mentioned here, and they're objects of what wholesomeness is like, of what a wholesome life is like in Christ Jesus. He begins here, and he says, now. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Has he got your attention? One final thing. And he says, fix your thoughts on what is. And that fix your thoughts is an imperative. Again, son, daughter, one final thing. If I got your attention, I want you to get this. I really want you to have this. Because I have something great in store for you if you embrace it. So fix your thoughts on these things. You see, proper thinking is not optional, my son, my daughter. Proper thinking is not optional. Write this down, Proverbs 23:7. It's not in your notes. There we are told by the Holy Spirit, for as he or she thinks within himself or herself, so is he or she. For as one thinks within themselves, so is this person. In Mark 7, you want to write this down, verses 20 through 23. Jesus says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, thefts, murders, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Those things that we saw before, harsh words, speaking words that defile us in our speech. Not being kind, not being forgiving as Christ has forgiven us. Not being tenderhearted, not being humble, not being meek, not being loving. All these things, they defile us for not doing them. So he says, I give you this command because I love you so much. He says, fix your thoughts on what is aletheia. What is aletheia? What is true? What is reliable? What is honest? What is valid? Fix your thoughts on these things. I'm commanding you to do that, son. Daughter, are you listening to me? I'm commanding you to fix your thoughts on what is true and what is semna, which is honorable. What those things that are noble, those things that are worthy of respect. I want you to be fixing your minds on these things and on those things that are dikaya, those things that are right, those things that are righteous, those things that are just. And I want you to fix your minds on hagna, that which is pure, and that is which is moral purity, that which is lovely, this prosphili, which means that which is pleasing and agreeable and amiable. These are my commands to my kids, these kids that I love so very much that my son died for. I want you to fix your mind on those things that are euphema, those things that are admirable, those things that are of good repute. And then he goes on and he says, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Praise, he wants us to think of those things that are worthy of praise because it measures up to the highest standards that he has put forth in his word to us. And then he goes on. He says, keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. Another present imperative. My son, my daughter, I've got your attention. Hopefully, you're listening. I want you to be wholesome. I want you to conduct your life in a manner that is wholesome. And if you'd look there, he says, keep putting into practice all the things that you have learned and received from me. The church is not practicing. The church doesn't want to practice. We don't want to show up at practice. If Isaac didn't go to practice, he wouldn't be making 6 touchdowns. And the season isn't over yet. In my former occupation, I was asked to be the bodyguard of a very important person at that time. And I was asked to be her bodyguard because I wasn't your run-in-the-mill police officer. I distinguished myself as an officer. I wasn't a good husband, and I wasn't a good father, but I was a great cop. Wrong priorities. But nonetheless, Dorothy Hamill had reached the zenith, the apex of her profession. She had earned and won the gold medal in figure skating at the Olympics. She started at age 5 practicing. Age 5. She's been practicing for nearly 2 decades. And not coming like the church for an hour, hour and a half on a Sunday. Not doing some sort of practice for an hour and a half once a week. Or even maybe twice a week because you go to a Bible study for an hour. She practiced for hours upon end, upon hours upon end, from the time she was 5 years old, and then she won the gold. And she was still practicing when they hired me to be her bodyguard. Family, do you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul to the church family? He is saying we need to practice. Now think about it. How many hours do you put in to letting him speak to you? How many hours do you put in to talking to him? How many hours do you put in to serving him? What kind of sacrifices are you making for him? The secular people, they do it hours on end, year in and year out for decades, and the result is they win the gold. Don't we want to be pursuing the upper call of Christ Jesus and serving him and pleasuring him and making much, and therefore this becomes just, it soaks our minds and our hearts, and therefore we do the things that are responsible. You see, if Christians were like this, then there wouldn't be as much racism in our country as we see today. And there wouldn't be as much corruption in our country as we see today. Because we would be making an impact by our own lives in these areas and helping to change our culture to look more in the direction of the Lord Jesus. But the church doesn't want to practice. The church would rather be watching television and going to Dodger games and going to Ram games and painting their faces blue and wearing far-out wigs and drinking booze and getting drunk and acting like total donkeys. And you know where many of the church is? Sitting right next door to them in the seats. They've got 3.5 hours to sit at a game. They've got another 3.5 hours to sit in traffic. But they don't have those same 7 hours to practice in such a way as to honor our Lord Jesus. Keep putting it into practice. All you learn and receive from me. And you know what? Paul was not corrupt morally or politically, and he wasn't a bigot. Then he says, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. He wants us to practice those things. Well, Ron, specifically, what does he want? Well, I just shared with you there with your verse 8. And then go read half the New Testament. Read all of his letters. He's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is the breath of God to us. Read those letters. You will know exactly what he wants you to embrace and to practice. So it's to be the successes we all desire to be as we serve our Lord Jesus. So if we do these things, look what he says. Then if we practice these things, then the God of peace will be with you. Well, I'm all upset about my job. I didn't get the promotion I should have gotten. You know, the other guy got it, or the other lady got it. You know, I'm all upset because of whatever the reason is, I'm all upset. The question that our Holy Spirit is saying, Ron, ask your church family, because I've already asked you and you've come up wanting, Ron. Ask them, are they fixing their thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable? Are they getting rid of the harsh words? Are they getting rid of the slander? Are they letting go of the anger and the bitterness? Are they being tender-hearted? Are they being forgiving? Are they being compassionate? Are they being kind? And as the Spirit of God has welled up in me and smacked me around my office and around my family room, I don't know what he's saying to you, but there is work to be done, and the way it'll get accomplished is by saying, I want to be like Isaac and go to practice. I want to go to practice. I want to. It's not that I have to. He's commanded me to. But don't we as the children of God want to do the things that are pleasing to him. Well, I can't go on the Romans, but I want to leave you with this. As I shared a couple weeks ago, since the time that I have read anything about Corrie Ten Boom, I have admired her. And she says this to us this morning. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you will be at rest. Get it? Good. Father, wow. You took me in a direction I did not know fully we were going this morning. But I do appreciate your Holy Spirit's leadership, and even as those this morning in our prayer gathering even prayed that you would be the one who would be being heard today. So, Father, now that we have heard you, now that we know where to go to read and reread, now that you've given these message notes that we can go to immediately and read and reread, and hopefully we've taken copious notes. But Father, it's here, and it's not hard to understand. The difficulty, as you well know, is in the doing, and you've given us the one that overcomes all our difficulties, your wonderful Spirit. So help us. Help us to now reread these things. Come before you in prayer. Help us to meditate, to be like good cows and chew this stuff up and chew it again and chew it again and chew it for everything it's worth until it really settles in our hearts, settles in our minds. And we see our feet actually doing, taking us in the directions that you're speaking about to us, that we can enjoy being your sons and your daughters. So, Father, I think everyone here who knows you, they love you. But they know that their love is deficient. And we look to you to help us to strengthen that love, because that love is within us, and all the power is there within us. Help us now to come to practice and to see this love just well up within us and become active and touch our culture and to love on those people who are racist and to speak to their hearts the wonderful goodness of yourself and to help them to see that they're sinners like every other person on this planet. And they need your grace. And those that are corrupt, Father, to call them up short, but with love, to love on them. They're sinners. They're in the realm of the evil one. They're in darkness. Father, you've made us the light. Let us walk in. Let us bring light. Let us be your mouthpieces of peace and love. Help us to be what you always intended us to be. Your light in this world, salt, so that people would see you and give you glory and honor. For it is in the name of your Son, who is our example, we pray. Amen.